Six people have died in the last week in the U.S. and Canada after incidents involving the use of tasers by police. That's according to a report by CBS News and the Associated Press. Taser International says its devices have never been proven to have caused any deaths. And in a statement in response to one recent incident in which a Polish man died after being tasered in a Vancouver airport, Taser International put out this quote: "This tragic incident appears to follow the pattern of many in-custody deaths or deaths following a confrontation with police. Historically, medical science and forensic analysis has shown that these deaths are attributable to other factors and not the low-energy electrical discharge of the taser," end quote. But the deaths come after a recent spate of highly publicized incidents involving police using tasers on suspects, from the "Don't Tase Me, Bro" guy in Florida to a man who disputed a traffic ticket in Utah, got tasered for not wanting to sign his ticket. This leads to questions about tasers and others, what they call intermediate weapons. When should police use them? Eugene O'Donnell lectures about law and police studies at New York John Jay College of Criminal Justice. He's a former police officer. Hello, Eugene.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm well. When does a cop use a taser?
Well, it's supposed to be an intermediate weapon between physical force, ordinary force, and even at the low end, when you give commands to people, if they're compliant, no need to go to a weapon. And then at the extreme end of the equation is a deadly force. So this is supposed to give an officer something between verbal commands, physical force, and the need to use deadly force.
I think it's all in that gray area in between. Besides saying don't do it and using deadly force, what else can there be before there's a taser? What other options does a police officer have?
Well, police officers operate, you know, a lot in gray areas. One of the top, you know, issues here really is, why are the police involved in some of these things? And I think some of the things you just mentioned, you know, setting up the story, you really wonder why the police sometimes are called into these events and why they're put front and center. I think sometimes the recipe for the problems you have, you know, the problem that you have is the police are inserted into these things that they shouldn't be inserted into, like the college student.
Right, a kid, someone's loud at a lecture. Why is a policeman there?
How's that a police issue? That's a university administration issue, and sometimes university administration people, you know, are in short supply when you have that kind of an issue. So they should be front and center. The cops should be kept, you know, in the back. Some of these incidents that have been reported about tasers are really, you know, the guy refuses to sign a ticket. Why can't you have a jurisdiction like we have in New York where you don't have to sign a ticket? You have these kinds of unnecessary confrontations, which are often the beginning of these escalations of force.
Sir, does an officer have to identify that he will use the taser? Does he have to tell the person, comply or else this is an option?
You know, in theory, there would be a logic to the escalation. Unfortunately, you know, the history of this is that some very minor confrontations end up very tragically and escalate quite rapidly. So if the officer had the luxury to just use commands and the person was complying, they could do that. But regrettably, you do have many situations in which things go from 0 to 60, you know, in a second, where you step out of your car and immediately the officer is attacked, or there's an escalation of force by the person that the officer is encountering.
For the record, we should also point out that in Utah, where that YouTube incident where a man was tasered for not signing his ticket, the police could have just given him a warning. That's the law in Utah also, just like in New York. But what I wanted to ask you is, Taser is made by this one company called Taser. Do they dictate the training? Is there a standardized training among all jurisdictions, or is it just catch as catch can for what police departments use what training for the taser?
There is recommended training. One of the problems we have in the country, of course, is there's almost 20,000 police departments, and it's a real hodgepodge of departments. Some departments invest heavily in training, some departments less heavily, and training is often kind of sacrificed because there's a cost to it, and you probably could have a lot more hands-on training across the board, including in this area. But any kind of training that you have, it means fewer officers are on patrol, and there's a cost factor to that.
You know, one of the problems with tasers, or one of the reasons that there's a perception of the problems, is that so many of these incidents get a lot of media coverage. It's hard to find really good data because it's all different police departments, and I don't know if anyone federally is putting together the data. But like I said, the media gets a hold of a tape, and they'll play an incident. And this is NPR's reporting on a taser incident. Laura Sullivan reports.
Take the case of Frederick Williams. On the video, Williams is screaming, "Don't kill me. I have a family to support. I've calmed down," as several officers carry him into the Gwinnett County Detention Center in a suburb of Atlanta.
You know, Eugene O'Donnell, I don't think I've ever seen a police shooting on tape. Maybe you can remind me of one, but I've seen dozens and dozens of tasering. Is it just because taserings happen so much more often?
I don't know why that is, but I mean, I think any use of force, you have all kinds of uses of force now that are recorded on tape. I don't think they ever look good. I think we have to remind ourselves that the core function of the police, and this is why it's serious business to insert the police into these things, the core thing that makes them different than everybody else is that they're authorized and empowered and equipped to use force on people. So if you're calling to incidents, like some of the incidents they get called to, you shouldn't express surprise later on when force ends up being the end result of that.
You were a cop before tasers were available. What intermediate weapons did you have? How did you use them?
Well, you know, in theory, we had nightsticks, and you always wonder, and sometimes when you have these incidents, you ask yourself how competent officers are and how confident officers are in the range of weapons that they had. We had nightsticks, to some extent even radios, which were sort of an unauthorized weapon but could be quite effective. Obviously, to use force decisively quickly sometimes vitiates the need to go higher, and actually can be a better result. Sometimes officers hesitate in using force where they should use force. They should preempt things, and they let things kind of spin out of control. They sometimes maybe should be arresting people earlier rather than waiting. And it's often when they hesitate that things can really spin out of control, and you have an even worse ending, a tragedy, somebody dying in custody.
Tasers are more and more popular with police departments. The stock of the taser company, it was very high, came down a little. Now it's rebounding just because so many police departments are ordering tasers. Do you think the Justice Department or someone needs to really do a big investigation into how they're being used?
I think that the use of force in a free society by the police and arresting and detaining people is a huge issue. And I think there's too many people in the country that kind of give it short shrift and say it's not a big deal. Any use of force is a big deal. And I think all those kinds of things should be looked at. But my view is, you know, I've been talking a lot in New York City about mentally ill people. A lot of this is dumped on the cops. And
yeah,
the cops are the worst people, worst equipped people to deal with some of these situations. So my first offer to anyone who's thinking of the idea of the issue is to try to offload some of this stuff away from the police into areas, into people that have the competencies and the skills to deal with these issues.
Eugene O'Donnell lectures about law and police studies at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York City. He's also a former police officer. Thank you, Eugene.
Thanks a lot.
Coming up on the Bryant Park Project, one of our listeners responds to a story we did about the challenges of transracial adoption. We called him up and we'll talk to him. Coming up next.